Good morning, guys. We are continuing in our series, You Asked For It, this morning, and I'm about to introduce a good friend of ours named Stedman Valentine. Stedman, you can go ahead and come up. He's going to be teaching this morning, and so Stedman went through the residency program last year, and so has continued to hang in Dallas and serve with the porch and has been around, and so... You need this?
Yeah.
And so Stedman is a good friend, and he's got a great message for you guys this morning as we continue in this series. And so excited to hear about it. So yeah. I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks, Stedman.
All right, we're going to start by praying, guys. So if you bow and pray with me, God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning and allowing us to be here at Watermark. I pray that we see that is a remarkable grace on our lives. Grow up in North Dallas around a healthy church with people who love us. God, I pray for this message tonight. Father, I pray that it would cut to the innermost parts of us, Father, and convict us and show us the ways that we haven't loved you like we should have. And we should forevermore, Father. God, we give you ourselves today. Pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. So my name is Stedman Valentine, and I actually serve at the porch, but I love jumping in here at Wake. Because y'all have just such an energy that, I mean, even me coming in, seeing how y'all shoot the baskets and stuff like that and play the games, like, we don't do that stuff as young adults. And I kind of wish we did, because that looks like y'all having fun. And guys, to be honest with you, you are the future leaders of this church. Like, literally, you may not think it now, but 10 or 15 years from now, you will be up on stage doing big things for the Lord if you continue to love him and carry on. So thank you for having me here. I'm so glad to be here with you guys. But a topic I want to talk to you about tonight is something that I have some experience in. You probably have more experience than me, just because of the nature of my life over the last couple of years. But it's something that affects us immensely. But I'll start with a story. So when I was in ninth grade, which was in 2005, I was going to a small Christian school about 20 minutes south of Atlanta. It was called Our Lady of Mercy Catholic High School. Only claim to fame is we were in Dwight Howard's district, and they killed us in basketball every year. Got tired of it, but you know, God was gracious in that. I was barely 15 years old, and I didn't realize what even was going on in life. But there was this buzz around school about this thing that was on the internet that you can connect with friends, you can reconnect with friends, and you continue to meet new people. And I wanted to do those things. So this thing was called, and brace yourself because you may never heard of this, MySpace. Yes, that's right, MySpace. Thank you. Thank you, all 12 of you. MySpace. So MySpace was the original, like, early innovator of social media. Everybody wanted a MySpace. Like, I remember when I got on MySpace, so I went home to my friend Spencer's house, and I talked to him about it, and he was like, yeah, you should get a MySpace. So one of my friends made me an email address. I was late. I was behind the times. Don't judge me. 15 years old, didn't have an email address yet. He made me an email address. I got on MySpace. Then I started inviting friends. And the thing that was so different about MySpace, and I think it's kind of like Pinterest now, that you can actually decorate your page. So, yeah, everybody remembers that. You can decorate your page. When you came to your page, there's a playlist going. You could do a lot of stuff on MySpace. And the first picture I took that was forever enshrined to internet history is this one. Yes, that's Stedman Valentine at 15 years old. It was some tough days back then. Head was big, skinny body. I was built like a lollipop. I'm glad those days are behind me. I was built like a lollipop. But... I mean, I think it was just awesome. I get to reconnect with friends that I hadn't seen in a while. And we're all 15 and we're giving ourselves over to this. But the biggest thing, the biggest conflict that MySpace actually created was something called your top friends list. Now, let me explain this to you. Everybody, yeah, I know. Your top friends list, that was conflict waiting to happen. So on your page, you had to have at least top, it happened in multiples of four, either your top four friends, your top eight friends, or your top 16 friends. So imagine with me for a minute. Imagine your top four friends. Get them in your mind. Top four friends. You have to display them on your MySpace page. Top four friends. Okay, what if you get a girlfriend or boyfriend? Where do they go? Oh, yeah, I know that's exhale. It's like, oh, my goodness. Who do you take out? Are you willing to have the conversation with that person that you took out? Yeah, I know. This is conflict already. What if one of those top four friends moves away? Are you willing to sit them down before they move and be like, hey, dog, I mean, my top four friends got to be within 20 miles of me. So if you're moving to Arkansas, it's only going to be not so long before, hey, you got to go. So this was the conflict that it caused daily. But that was in my generation. What social media is doing in your generation is something totally different. It is causing anxiety, depression, isolation, and discontentment to rise like no other. Statistics show that you are the most depressed generation, isolated generation, suicidal generation ever in American history. And I believe social media has a lot to do with this. And just in case you don't believe me, here are the stats. So you spend, and when I say social media, I mean Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Snapchat, and et cetera, things I may not even know about yet. They keep coming. Studies show that you spend 6 to 8 hours on social media daily. 6 to 8 hours on social media daily. Now, you're probably going through your head, it's like, hold on, bro, I get on social media then, when I wake up, when I go to sleep, at school, when my teacher talking, parents talking, when I want to get with my little brother. That's when you get on social media. And I was conservative. Some of you may be on social media right now. And you shouldn't be. You should actually listen up. Thank you. But I said 6 hours, and literally it's more like 8 hours. I said 6 hours because there are the goody two shoes out there that are few and far in between that don't take their cell phones to school. And first thing they do when they wake up is read the Bible. That's awesome. Last thing they do when they go to sleep is pray. But I imagine maybe that's not too many of your stories. Maybe the first thing you did this morning was look at social media. And maybe think the last thing you did last night was look at social media. And anything you do that 6 to 8 hours affects you immensely. If you do anything 6 to 8 hours a day, you will change. If you work on a sport 6 to 8 hours a day, you're going pro after high school. Or as soon as you can go pro. If you read 6 to 8 hours a day, it won't be long until you're one of the smartest minds of our century. If you run 6 to 8 hours a day, you will kill everybody in marathons. That's if your body holds up. But anything you do 6 to 8 hours a day is going to affect you. And this is what statistics show that social media 6 to 8 hours a day is doing on your life. It says this. High social media use is associated with anxiety and depression. Eighth graders who are heavy users of social media increase the risk of depression by 27%. While those who play sports, go to religious services, or even do homework more than the average teen cut the risk significantly. Children who use a media device right before bed are more likely to sleep less than any should, more likely to sleep poorly, and more likely to sleep during the day. And when you're tired, you're not God's man or woman. I can tell you that. This is a longer one, but I think it's important. This trend has been especially steep among girls. 48% more girls said often felt left out in 2015 than in 2010, compared with 27% more boys. Girls use social media more often, giving them an additional opportunity to feel excluded and lonely when they see their friends or classmates getting together with them. Social media levy a psychic tax on the teen doing the posting as well, as she anxiously awaits the affirmation of comments and likes. Can anybody agree with that? Hey, have you ever posted something on social media and waited for comments and likes? And when maybe you didn't get the comments, likes, shares you wanted, you pulled it down? Yeah, you feel it. But it continues. She says, I'm nervous about what people think and are going to say. If something bugs me when I don't get a certain amount of likes on a picture. Girls have also borne the brunt of rise in depressive symptoms among today's teens. Boys' depressive symptoms increased by 21% more from 2012 to 2015. So 21% in depression in guys. 3 years. While girls increased 50%. A 50% rise in depression in girls that are teens. More than twice as much. The rise in suicide, too, is more pronounced among girls. Although the rate increased for both sexes, 3 times as many 12 to 14-year-old girls killed themselves in 2015 as in 2007. Compared with twice as many boys. The suicide rate is still higher for boys, in part because they use more lethal methods. But girls are beginning to close the gap. Like, this affects you. Like, it would be insane for you to say, hey, I am unique. it won't affect me like that, Sam, and I won't get depressed. I won't isolate myself. Like, this has a profound effect on your life. Some of you walked in here depressed, anxious, discontent, and maybe suicidal. And one, I want you to tell somebody. Do not make that stuff a secret. It only hurts you. But nonetheless, social media may be killing your relationship with God and others. I'll say that one more time. Social media may be killing your relationship with God and others. Now, if you want to tune out because you don't have a social media page or are not connected to social media, please stay tuned, because more than likely you will have social media in the future. Some of you may not have it now. I would bet my life that most of you have it. 90% of people in this room have some type of social media page. Maybe 10% of you parents don't believe in that type of stuff yet. Didn't let you read Harry Potter or didn't let you do things you want to do. So I understand that. There are parents like that. But eventually it's going to happen. So guys, I'm going to talk to you about the four ways that social media is killing your relationship with God. 4 points. I'll fly through them. Stay with me. First one, highlight reel. We all know this person. They're, oh my goodness, they're walking on cloud 9. Nothing ever bad happens in his life. They hit the growth spurt super early in life. They're good at all sports. They got like a beard at like 12. It's like they're driving already. Like you can't wait for them to drive down your street so you can call the cops and get them on them. It's like we all know this person. Their parents are perfect. Their family is perfect. Their dog is perfect. They got the dog you wish you had. They send you 2 Christmas cards a year just to remind you how perfect they are. Like it gets old. It's like I don't want to even live in the same state as these people. But we all know that person who has the highlight reel social media. Now, I would tell you comparison is the thief of joy. I don't think that's all the way correct. Comparison is not the complete thief of joy. I think a false comparison is the thief of joy. Because really, if I compare myself to some, I can compare myself to God and see, hey, he's a holy God, I'm sinful, and maybe get depressed because of that. But then I look back at that same God who sent his son to die for me, then I feel a sense of joy in my heart knowing that, hey, my salvation depends upon him. But a false comparison will land you always at discontentment. And this is what a false comparison looks like. Comparing someone's highlight reel to your mundane life. You know your pain. You know your suffering. You know your anxiety. You know your feelings. And to look at a person on social media and think they experienced none of that because of the stuff they posted from the last year. Like you don't see behind the curtain. You only see what they show you. You think they never get acne, pimples, zits. Like their teeth are always perfect. Like, yeah, that's what they choose to show you. And if you can compare your mundane life to what they have on social media, their highlight reel, it will always land you a discontentment and anxiety. Always. And Paul had to struggle with this too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 through 12, I'll read it to you. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is of no account. So, little background content. These super apostles were actually judging Paul. They were like, hey, bro, your letters are awesome, but when you're with us, you're really not a good speaker. And Paul even admitted, I'm really not a good speaker. But Paul says this, let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. So basically, Paul is saying, if I got to put this in common day terms, I'm about that life. That's what Paul was saying. It's like, hey, dog, what we write, we do it. But then Paul goes on to say this. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they're without understanding. Some of your translations say they are ignorant, or they're foolish. And this is a false comparison because the super apostles are saying, hey, to build up the church, you need somebody that's super. That's i.e. super apostles. And Paul was like, no, like that's dependent upon God to build up the church. Your Bible is filled with people who were not worthy at all of God's love, but God chose to use them so he can get glory. He chose to use the weak to shame the strong. So Paul is saying, hey, bro, I'm not trying to compare myself to you. You make yourself the standard of excellence, and that's wrong. Because this is a false comparison, because it's all about what God has done in my heart and what he can do through me. Paul was killing Christians, and he wrote most of your New Testament. So Paul is saying, hey, I am not going to compare myself with them. I'm just going to be faithful to the Lord. And I think that's what you need to do. If you look at everybody's highlight reels and compare your life, please expect to be discontent. But if you look at everybody's highlight reels and can celebrate the victories they have in their lives, that's a sign of a healthy heart. If you can look at people's highlights reel and be like, oh my goodness, I am so glad that they're on their fifth vacation in the last 7 days. Like that, glory be to God. I don't know if I'm there yet. I can put all cards on the table. I don't know if I'm there yet. So some social media profiles, I just don't go to. It's like, hey, I'm just going to stay away from that one because I know this is not going to be good for me. So that was my first point. My second point, attention seeking. And this is alluding to my intro. How many of you actually post, whether that be tweets, pictures, post, and you wait to see how many likes, shares, comments you get, and then judge your self-worth off that? I think this is more prevalent in girls than guys. When we put stuff up, and then you check your social media about the next 50 times in the next 7 seconds, to see, okay, who liked it? Oh, she liked it. Oh, she liked it. Oh, he didn't like it. Oh, they didn't like it. Like that is a problem. Because what you really have done is made yourself a product to be judged and bought. You have made yourself a product in your mind. You're saying, hey, this is actually me I'm putting out there. And when you don't like what I put out there, I feel a rejection of me. And that leads to a low self-worth. So I was on Instagram. I'm not on Instagram, but I talked to a friend. There's this egg. Have you ever heard about this? I think I got a picture of it. It's the world's most, the world record egg. It has 9.5 million followers. An egg. Literally, think about that. An egg. Its first picture it posted, 53 million likes. An egg. Like, think about that. An egg. I was like, what kind of generation are we living in? I'm not following. And then the egg's in different places, and the egg's dressed like a football, and that gets 30 million likes, and the next one gets 20 million likes. I'm like, bro, like, y'all don't have anything better to do with y'all time? Look at an egg? Like, I'm like, I'm going to use Instagram. At least it's going to be something hopefully productive, not looking at an egg. But if you were to be honest with yourself, I bet you wish your Instagram post got a tenth of that. Some of you do a backflip if you had 53 million likes. That means somebody's actually paying attention to you. And you feel a low self-worth when that doesn't happen. But you got to think about this. When we think about worth and value, things are only as valuable as what people would pay for it. That's where we get value from in our economy, in our market. Things are only as valuable as what people will pay for it. So you have to consider the cost that your life is worth. 1 Peter 1, 18-19 says this. Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without a blemish or a spot. The point I am making is that God came down to earth in the flesh and died for you. That's how valuable you are. God is not dying for an egg. He's not. He died for each and every one of you. Romans 5:8 says it like this. But God shows his love for us in this. When we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, that's immensely important. Like, your number of followers and likes and retweets and things of that nature do not define your self-worth or your lack thereof. Because you know who didn't have a lot of followers? Jesus Christ. He didn't have a lot of followers. He had 12, and actually one was against him. One got him killed. And nobody would say, hey, Jesus, bro, you're not worth anything, bro. You got 11 followers, Jesus. Go over there. No. That's not the case here. Jesus Christ is of immense worth. His life is of immense worth. And he put it on the cross so that you may know God. And as soon as you stop, as soon as you forget that, that's going to be bad. That's going to be very bad. So, moving on. Next point. Fear of missing out. FOMO. So we got highlight reel, got attention seeking, now we got FOMO. If I would have said FOMO, you already know. This is a big thing that's gotten big over the last 5 years. This word's acronym. And everybody feels it as a sense. It's defined in a dictionary like this. Fear of missing out or anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may be happening elsewhere. Often aroused by posts seen on social media websites. So basically, hey, if I don't have social media, I'm missing out. Or I'm afraid of missing out. And let me tell you, the thing you may be missing out the most on are the people around you who love you and that you should be loving back. But this didn't start with you. Genesis 3:3-5. So backstory on Genesis, creation story. God created the heavens and the earth, Adam and Eve in the garden. Hey, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but you can eat from this other tree. Eve says, hey, I like that tree. I'm going to do exactly what you told me not to do. Then Genesis 3 says this. But God said, you should not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is the ultimate FOMO. If you don't eat from that tree, Eve, you're not going to be like God. This is fear of missing out. I'm going to miss out on being like God. Okay, hand me the fruit. Let me take a bite of it. And this is your story too. Hey, if I give up social media, I'm going to miss out. You're not missing out on anything. God has you here for a reason. He has you in this geographical location with the people around you for a reason. Not so you can spend all your time at lunch tables. Everybody's on their phone. Like you're missing out on the people you should be loving. And this is what it results in. It results in a bunch of kiddie pool relationships. Y'all know the kiddie pool? That's next to the adult pool. That's like 10 degrees warmer. That pool. That's kiddie pool relationships. And you say, ew, yes, I know, because it's shallow. And it'll result in a lot of shallow relationships. And it may be toxic. That's why I call them kiddie pool relationships. So ask yourself, how many kiddie pool relationships do I have? How many people do I actually know? Not, hey, I just know their birthday. But like, no, I know their deepest sin struggle. I know what makes them happiest. I know what makes them saddest. I know where they're going to be at tonight. Like, those are the type of relationships God wants you to have. A deep, abiding relationships that actually hold you accountable to what he called you to. Not just, I know how many followers they got, or I know how many times their last message got retweeted. That stuff is going to pass. That stuff is going to pass. You've walked away from so many friends that you don't even know how many followers they have, and you don't even care. It's hard to walk away from friends who love Jesus, who you've invested in years of your life. Like, don't have a bunch of kiddie pool relationships because you have FOMO. Miss out on the things that are happening out there so you can love the people who are happening right here. And just another thing about fear missing out. So we know God in three main ways. He has three main attributes, and I think you'll know him once I start to go through them. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. And I mean everything. He knows your past, your future, what you're thinking about right now, every fact, statistic, piece of history, every secret, who killed JFK, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, will you ever get married, when will you die? Is Duke going to beat Michigan State tonight? He's not. They're not. Is Duke going to beat Michigan State tonight? Like, he knows all those things. The second thing we know him as is omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. He can do anything. He can part the sea. He can make fire rain from heaven. And he can bring people back from the dead. He can do anything. But the third way we know him is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at once. And I know that may be hard to wrap your head around, but aren't you trying to do that same thing with social media sometimes? Aren't you trying to become like God sometimes? Aren't you trying to be omnipresent? hey, I have to be here with this friend. I have to be here with this friend. I got to know what's going on in my life. I got to be with a friend that moved to Chicago because she moved to Chicago. I got to be with a friend who moved to New York because she's in New York. I got to be with a friend who's on a mission trip. I got to follow all these friends. And what you do is you miss out on being present. And that you're sitting around the table. Everybody's on their phone. Everybody has deep hurts. Everybody has deepest desires. Everybody has pain, struggles, and nobody knows it. Because they're trying to be omnipresent, so we forget to be present. You are not omnipresent. You are not God. Exist in your geographical location, wherever you're at. I challenge you, put the phone down and get to know people who are sitting across the table. And if you think, hey, man, I do know them, people change, especially at your age, even at my age. And more people aren't stagnant. They change. Therefore, you can't just say, hey, I know this person. I know a lot of your leaders. I went through the fellowship with Thomas Reed. Had a real productive conversation with him in the last, what, 2 or 3 months. But stuff could have happened. He's getting ready to have a baby. Like, that changes you. I need to get with Thomas then and talk to him. Not assume that, hey, I know Thomas. There's a difference between knowing somebody here and knowing him here. I know of LeBron James. Great basketball player. If I tried to walk in LeBron James' house, I would be killed. Or at least shot. There's a difference between an intimate relationship with somebody and just like, hey, I know of that person. I know all your stats. You really need to consider what's going on in your life. Fourth one, online harassment. Now this goes two ways. Online harassment. Let me plead with you for a moment. If someone has reached out to you on social media that you do not know, and they're trying to start a conversation that would lead to a relationship, or even just a conversation, period, don't entertain it. And I am so serious, don't entertain it. You need to tell somebody, definitely don't go meet up with them. Like, this is so many horror stories come out of situations like this. Where it's, hey, I just met this person online, they got this profile pic, we're going to meet alone. You do not want to do that. That should never happen. You decline the comment, delete him, block him, tell somebody or her. Like, so many horror stories come out of that. You do not want to be on the wrong side of that story. You do not need to meet up or talk with somebody you do not know. Like, period. Like, don't even entertain it. Your friends should be people you know interact with online. If you don't know and interact with them, just leave it alone. You'll bless yourself. You'll give your parents peace at night. And you'll keep yourself from maybe going through something horrible. But on the flip side of that, some of you are the online harassers. Like, literally, you're harassing people online. We used to call these people trolls. You know what I'm talking about? Every time you post some, they gotta post some that's totally opposite of what you said. They always wanna argue online. Every time you put a picture up, they gotta hate. That is not right. That by no means is that glorifying to God. Luke 6:45 says this. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Let me change that statement. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Twitter tweets. If I pull up your tweets from the last 6 months, will I be able to tell you love Jesus? If I pull up your posts from the last 6 months on Instagram, well, I'll be like, hey, this person has surrendered to the Lord. What about on Facebook? What if somebody found all your Snapchats? Yeah, you'll probably sweat. Like, if you feel that conviction right now, one, that is a good thing, drawing you to repentance. Don't ignore it. Like, some of us can harass people online, and some of us do it by neglect. Hey, you ever seen that picture online that, hey, I would like, but it's that person's profile and I don't like them? Yeah, I know that's completely true in this room. Or, hey, this person liked that image that person posted. How come they didn't like mine? Feel a low self-worth when you feel maybe neglected? Like somebody did that on purpose? You jump to worst case scenario? You kind of notice online harassment when you're like, hey, I don't want this person to get a lot of likes on this picture, so I'm not going to like it. Like, that is the state of your heart. And you need to actually move towards that person in grace. Those things can be very dangerous. because they always evolve. They don't stay the same. So I'm about to ask you to do something quite crazy. And people are going to think I'm crazy. And that's all right. It's not the first time. Won't be the last. But here's the challenge. Especially if you suffer with discontentment, anxiety, depression, anything of that nature. Suicide, first tell somebody. Because the irony about social media is it doesn't make you more sociable. It actually isolates you. It isolates you under the lie that I have relationships with these people out there in the universe and they know me somewhat. That is a lie. You don't know them. You just see their highlight reel. Like, by no means. Social media doesn't make you more sociable. It actually isolates you. You've been fooled by a lie that's kept you out of a community. And you need to understand that. So especially if you suffer with those things, I would challenge you this. Get off social media for 30 days. I know, oh my goodness, no, he didn't just say that. Not from stage. Get off social media for 30 days. And this is what it looks like. Go to your small group leader and be like, hey, here is my password. Change all my passwords. 30 days, flat. Are y'all nervous yet? Y'all like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you just asked me to do that. 30 days. It's just 30 days. You'll be all right. The fact that maybe you can't do it is maybe, stay with me. Ask him after. I understand that was a big ask. Ask him after. Maybe I should have held that way to then. Get off social media for 30 days. And the fact that if you can't do that at all, that means you may be addicted to social media. And that's a bad thing. If you can't go without it for 30 days, you may have an addiction problem. In that case, you need to get off it for 30 days. Lock all your social media and see what happens out of it. Because here's my story. In college, it's college. It's a lot of stuff. I was dealing with Lyme disease, leading the ministry, trying to play a sport on top of having a social life. So it was always busy. And I was finding myself, hey, not being productive as I want to be during the day. So I took an allotment of my day. And I was like, dang, I spent like 4 hours a day, like just swiping, renewing, swiping on Facebook all the time. I cut Facebook out for 30 days. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I was riding in my friend's car and we were just talking, and I had to actually think about the last time I had a lustful thought. I remember the thought. I'm like, when's the last time I had a lustful thought? Oh, before social media. Now I know when I get back on, hey, this is something that I have to take a break from. And I still do that often. I'll probably see my Facebook page about 4 times a year because that's good for my heart. In closing, guys, don't falsely compare your life to others. Highlights reels. It will only result in discontentment, anxiety, and depression. Don't find your worth in online attention. You're so much more valuable than if people want like your post or not. Don't be involved in online harassment whatsoever. Seek to build up one another, not to tear them down. And don't believe the lie of FOMO. Only thing you're missing out on are the people around you. And for some of you, I have to include this, you may be missing out on the love of God. Some of you, social media isn't even a conversation. It's, hey, do you love Jesus? Have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because he loves you, and he wants you to have your own highlight reel. Like Paul's life, all these lives in the Bible, they were highlight reels. You can live that too if you're faithful. Come to know the loving kindness of Jesus who is pursuing each and every day. Let me pray. God, I thank you for the people in this room, Father. I pray that they don't believe the lie of FOMO, Father. They're not missing out on anything. They're where they're supposed to be at right now, Father. I pray that if you would move in their heart, that they would give up their social media for 30 days to see what you do with that. God, we love you and we need you. Pray that these words don't fall on deaf ears, Father, but they cut towards hearts, Father, our inmost desires, and we come to love you because of that. Pray all things in Jesus' mighty, master, and holy name. Amen.